Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Wednesday, April the 15th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, a Kent MP calls for changes to energy bills, the art installation being unveiled in Kent to mark VE Day, and find out which football team in the county have secured promotion. But first, a warning, some of you may find our top story today disturbing. Three men have gone on trial accused of repeatedly raping a young girl after spotting her alone in a supermarket car park. Lucy joins me on the podcast. Lucy, a really awful case. Can you tell us what Canterbury Crown Court's been told?
Well, Ivan Turtak, Kevin Horvath and Ernest Gunner are alleged to have targeted and exploited the child after seeing her near the Asda store. The court's been told the men were complete strangers to the youngster and encouraged her into Horvath's car after promising she could have a cigarette. It's claimed she was then taken to Turtak's flat in Dover and Gunner's caravan in Folkestone.
And she was allegedly threatened as well.
That's right. The men are accused of threatening to kill her if she tried to run away or raise the alarm. When the girl was finally found by police, she wasn't wearing her clothes, and tests revealed she had traces of crystal meth and THC in her system. While opening the case, the prosecutor said the defendant's conduct towards the girl was callous, degrading and exploitative.
And what do we know about the men so far?
Well, Turtak, who's 38, denies rape of a child, while Horvath, who's 25, has pleaded not guilty to sexual assault of a child. 27-year-old Gunner denies assault of a child by penetration, sexual assault of a child, and two offences of rape. But the jury also heard at the start of their trial that several offences relating to the same girl had been admitted. The trial, which is expected to last up to 4 weeks, continues.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
A man's appeared in court after a woman who was sleeping in her camper van in Sandgate woke up to find it on fire. It happened in the early hours of last Friday. A 54-year-old from Folkestone is also accused of torching six cars. He's due at Crown Court in May. A man's been charged after a loaded gun was found at a house near Ashford. Police searched the property in Watery Lane in Westwell in the early hours of Sunday. The weapon was discovered in the loft and a knuckle duster was also seized. A 38-year-old's due in court. A man in his 20s is in hospital with a serious head injury thought to have happened during an attack in Rochester. It's understood the victim was injured in the High Street area between 8 last Friday night and 3 the following morning. Police are keen to hear from anyone who saw what happened. A care home in Whitstable has been placed into special measures after inspectors found 6 breaches of regulations. Whitstable House has been rated inadequate following concerns about poor leadership and residents not feeling safe. It'll be monitored by the Care Quality Commission to make sure improvements are made. Now, next today, a Kent MP wants to bring in new rules, making it compulsory for energy companies to offer social tariffs to vulnerable households. It would mean providers would be forced to offer reduced rates for some groups, including people on benefits or disabled customers. East Thanet's Polly Billington says the fuel poverty rate in Kent is currently at just over 11%. And she believes the tariffs would help those who need it most while the government makes the switch to low-cost, renewable energy. Polly's been chatting to Kate.
Well, I've launched my campaign for an energy social tariff, which would mean that every energy company has to put on offer for all vulnerable customers a particularly low tariff, which means that the price of their energy will be lower in order to be able to tackle fuel poverty and to support those families that are really, really struggling. Now, there are some energy companies already offer these, but not all of them do. And this piece of legislation I put forward in the House of Commons would require everybody, every energy company, to offer this and to offer them to a particular target group that we know we can identify. Some of them will be people on benefits, but not only people on benefits, people in cold, old and drafty homes who don't have an EPC C standard home. That's a lot of people in a place like East Thanet where we've got lots of cold, old and drafty homes. And we'd also need to think about families with a disabled member in it, because a lot of people with disabilities need more energy than others. So they end up being adversely impacted by high energy prices. Why do we need this? Because even though we are shifting to cleaner, cheaper, more reliable, homegrown energy, the price of energy is still track the gas and oil price, which is international, which is still dictated by dodgy regimes like Russia and Vladimir Putin. So until we've got things really much better, a lot of people are still ending up with very high bills, and we want to be able to protect the poorest. That's what I want to do.
Now, the energy crisis, I suppose it was a really big story as part of the cost of living crisis. We covered it a lot last year. I think there's a general sense, though, that the market has calmed down a little bit now. It's not so much in the headlines anymore, this energy crisis. What are your constituents telling you? Obviously, people are still struggling to pay their energy bills.
Well, energy bills are still really high. They're nearly £2,000 on average for a family household. That's nearly double what they used to be before the crisis. And the reality is, we're in this situation because energy prices are still dictated by those oil and gas prices globally. Now, we need to shift away from that. We can do the more clean, locally generated energy we have, because we can change the gas price, the overall energy price. But while it's still pegged to gas prices, lots of people are really struggling. We've also got a situation where most people rely on gas to heat their homes. And that is extremely, not only is that expensive for them, but it's extremely damaging for the environment. We want to be able to encourage people to shift to electric heat if they can, with different technologies. But electricity is even more expensive, even though it's generated by clean in clean ways, again, because it's pegged to the gas price. So we need to change all of this over time. But while we're changing that, we need to make sure that people are not adversely affected by this volatility of the oil and gas prices, because I'll tell you what, the energy companies are very happy to put the price up when the global price goes up, but they don't put it down so quickly when the energy prices go down. So we're all paying the cost of that. And I think the most vulnerable, families with disability, with somebody with a disability, people on certain benefits, those in cold, old and drafty homes, those people should really have some kind of protection.
Kent Online reports.
An inquest into the deaths of a Sevenoaks couple on a luxury yacht off Sicily has heard criminal investigations are ongoing. Jonathan and Judy Bloomer were on a vessel that sank following a storm last August. Efforts to recover the boat are continuing, and police are still looking to speak to some of the crew members. Police have taped off a house near Herne Bay following reports of an attack. Officers were spotted on Blackburn Road in Green Hill yesterday evening. Residents have been asked for CCTV footage after an alleged assault earlier that afternoon. A man's been taken to hospital after being attacked while walking his dog in Maidstone. The victim was followed by a suspect along Spot Lane before being pushed to the ground in Tower Lane and kicked in the face. Police are reviewing CCTV footage after it happened just over 2 weeks ago. Meantime, a man's been punched and kicked during an attack at a Kent leisure centre. Police and ambulance crews were called to the site on Newhythe Lane in Larkfield late the other night. The victim was taken to hospital. So far, no one's been arrested. And three men have been detained after a police drone was used to find a stolen car in Yalding. The Mercedes-Benz C-Class was taken during a burglary in London, and tracking software inside linked it to an area of Yalding Hill. The men, who are 26, 38 and 52, arrived in a van as officers made inquiries nearby. Now, a new art installation is being unveiled in Dover today as part of events to mark the 80th anniversary of VE Day. It's a sound mirror, something that was used during the war effort to detect incoming aircraft off the Kent coast. They were seen as a precursor to radar and were essential for success in the Second World War. Well, Kate's been chatting to Stuart McClure, who's from the RBLI.
A sound mirror is a device usually made from concrete. They were installed along the Kent coastline around the 1920s and early 30s, and they're essentially a precursor to radar. So basically, a sound mirror is a giant concrete dish that echoes sound waves through a little bowl, or a large bowl that it has in it, onto a small microphone, so that you can hear incoming aircraft from about 25 miles, I believe.
So it was my understanding that these were used during the war effort, positioned along the Kent coast and were part of the war effort.
Yeah, so they were built in anticipation of a worsening climate in the world at the time. And they predated radar, and radar was because of the sound mirrors, they contributed to the understanding of radar and the development of radar, which was then in place by the time we had the war.
That's really interesting. I had no idea about sound mirrors or sort of what
they are very cool devices. If you go, well, the event that we're talking about today is equidistant to two existing sound mirrors on the Kent coastline. So ours is in Dover, and there's another one to the left and to the right as you look at the White Cliffs of actual sound mirrors. So you can still go and visit them today.
And strategically positioned, I'm assuming, to catch aircraft and things moving across the channel.
Absolutely, yeah. To come on, any aircraft coming across the channel that we need to know about, they would be able to hear them in advance. It doesn't give them a massive amount of time to prepare, but as I said, I think it was up to 25 miles that they could hear from. So you get a bit of warning, basically, especially when the speed of aircraft at that time was not as quick as it is today, of course.
Well, it's so fascinating. It's amazing that these things exist that, you know, I've never heard of before, but they've got such a rich history and a fascinating background. It's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. And they're reasonably well known in Kent. So quite a lot of people are quite fans of having them as a part of their county. So yeah, they're quite popular.
Now, getting on to the event, can you tell me, first of all, where this idea came from of installing, I suppose, a new sound mirror along the Cairn coast? Where did that come from and why is it happening?
Sure. So we're working with an artist called Martin Brode. He is the artist who created the RBLI's Tommy. So we've worked with him on a lot of different things and he works closely with us. This year, we celebrate the 80th anniversary of V-Day, obviously, but we also celebrate the 90th anniversary of radar. So it's a fitting time to kind of combine those two into an artwork that we're installing in Dover. So it's very interesting for us to connect the idea of listening and seeing and commemorating with the dishes, because they were there obviously to forewarn and to help to listen. And it's a nice combination of the two on the point of V-Day. Of course, they also relate to radar, which was extremely important in helping us win the war. You may even say that without that, we would not have won the Second World War. So they pieced together in a very fitting way to think about VE Day.
The installation at Marina Curve at the Port of Dover will be free for all of us to go and visit.
Kent Online reports.
Thousands of families across Kent are going to be finding out which primary school their child will be going to later. Offers are being sent out to any pupils due to start reception year in September. You'll then have until the end of the month to accept or apply to go on a waiting list if you're not happy. A magnet fisher who pulled a First World War bomb from the River Medway has slammed quite how long it took for police to respond to his call. The YouTuber found the 10-inch explosive while in Maidstone underneath the A229 bridge, but says officers took 2 hours to arrive. A police cordon was eventually put in place and a bomb squad later attended to safely remove the device. Kent Police are yet to comment. Tributes are being paid today to a Sheerness woman who spent 50 years volunteering at her local theatre. Yvonne Walker died at the age of 84 after suffering from an infection. The Sheppey Little Theatre say she'll be missed for her sunny smile and her can-do attitude. A man from Dover has become one of just a handful of Western tourists to visit North Korea in the last 5 years. An interesting story, this one. Anthony James McFarlane was given a visa to visit an area near the Chinese and Russian borders. The 31-year-old was allowed to stay for just 6 days earlier this month, and he recorded a video after arriving.
So, guys, there we go. We are in Pyongyang in the DPRK. Couldn't film on the plane, but it was smooth. Had the famous Koryo burger. Staff are really nice, air hostess are really nice, they're very firm on not allowing anyone to take photos or videos, which is fair enough. Customs procedure was really easy, go through your phone, went for my laptop, went through the rest of my bag and looked at my cameras, checked my memory, but yeah, it was pretty straightforward. I thought it was going to be a lot more intense. I actually speak perfect English. Really nice. Funny thing, on the plane there was actually like a miracle injection that they were selling, which cured cancer and polio. It's actually a lot busier than I thought it was going to be, but obviously there are 200 people here for the marathon, so I'm assuming that's why. It was quite strange landing and seeing that there were no other planes sort of like moving around or anything.
He also shared some of the advice he was given by a tour guide on the bus to his hotel.
The books published in the country have got the pictures of our leaders. So please don't tear them apart or crumple them or throw away into the rubbish bin, and that's regarded as the unrespectful thing by the Koreans. You're not allowed to take pictures of any the military the military checkpoints, the army men, and also the construction sites. In our country now, a lot of construction, so please don't take pictures of them. We Koreans are not yet used to the foreigners' unexpected pictures, so please don't take pictures of them.
Well, you can watch that video in full and read the story at Kent Online. A new Netflix show is out today based on a diamond heist that was planned right here in Kent. The idea, you may remember, was to break into the Millennium Dome and steal a prized jewel. But it was foiled when one of the gang members was arrested drunk at a pub near Tunbridge. A new three-part docudrama has been produced by Guy Ritchie. A new Next store in Canterbury is officially opening today. The retailer says it's created 60 jobs at the shop on the Wincheap Retail Park. It's taken over the former Mothercare building that's been empty since the retailer went bust in 2020. And finally, a shop and nursery are set to open in an entertainment complex in Maidstone. The new arrivals are going into two former restaurant sites at Lockmeadow. Bosses say it recognises a change in demand from visitors and they hope it increases footfall.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and stats have revealed Gillingham spent more on agent fees in the last year than almost any other side in League Two. In the 12 months to February, bosses at Priestfield have forked out more than £235,000. Fleetwood Town and Port Vale were the only sides that paid out more. And if you head to the website today, you can see some great pictures from yesterday's open training session at Priestfield. The first team were there with boss Gareth Ainsworth and the rest of his coaching team with just four games of the season to go. And staying with football, Faversham Town have secured promotion to the Isthmian League. Last night's 1-0 win at Tunbridge Wells was their sixth straight victory in the Southern Counties East League Premier Division. It means they've now won the title. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the site, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.